Today we have a guest speaker, although she's one of our own. During sabbatical a couple years ago, we had people from the congregation share their stories. This is my story, this is my psalm. And Sherry Searles will be sharing her story with you today and ways in which not just an everyday person like Sherry can make an impact, but how everyday people like you can also make an impact in the fight against injustices in our world. We have a fund in our church, it's called the Justice Fund, and when you give each week, there are portions of that that go to various organizations, and Justice Ministries is one of those. And so the Justice Fund recently made some distributions I want to share with you about. One of those is to the International Justice Mission. It's an organization that we partner with, and they are on the front lines, lawyers and prosecutors and police who can go into places in this world in utter darkness and horrific environments, even dangerous environments, and rescue young boys and young girls and defend widows from losing their property and other kinds of issues. And we as a church made a contribution this past month of $500 so that it could be matched by another individual. It's the International Justice Mission, and we want you to know that we gave on your behalf. On occasion, there are ministries within our church, or people who have started ministries, and we want to support them. And so we've come alongside two women who are also helping to raise funds and awarenesses related to the injustices in our world. One of those is Carolyn Calloway. She has shared with you, I know before, about her dogs and how these dogs, when they're sold, all of the profits go towards Destiny Rescue, which is another organization that we partner with. And these dogs raise anywhere from $6,000 to $10,000 that go directly for this kind of ministry. And we made a contribution to this work by helping Caroline with some of the expenses related to shots and other immunizations that are required in getting the dogs breeded and ready. She told me this morning that her dog just went in heat, I guess, and is pregnant. And so there'll be dogs available, not just to us, but to people from around the country that are interested in these special dogs, as well as supporting this work. She has been selected by Destiny Rescue to speak at their annual banquet in Fort Wayne, and they're going to auction off one of her dogs, one dog will probably bring anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000 at that auction, and then build awareness of other people in the arena who would like to purchase these dogs for this cause as well. And we want you to know that you're partnering with Caroline in her efforts, an everyday person, to make a global impact in the area of these injustices. We also made a contribution to Accessories for Hope, and Sherry Searles is the founder of that ministry. You're going to hear about that, but there is a little blue bus, the Bluebird Boutique, that is outside the church, and there's a lot of expenses in purchasing that bus, as well as painting it and getting it ready. And you, through the church, made a contribution to Accessories for Hope to enable there to be a mobile store where Sherry can go to fairs and other places. Were you downtown this weekend? She was right downtown this weekend during our Harvest Fest, and she can take that anywhere to those kinds of events, especially here in the fall. I just want you to know that you are a part of contributing to ministries of people within our church who are trying to make a local impact, and we're partnering with organizations like International Justice Mission and Destiny Rescue to be a part of it. But today you're going to hear how you can do more than just sit and listen and applaud. applaud these women for the things they're doing, you and I can do some things as well. So will you pray with me as we then invite Sherry to come and to share her story with us? Thank you, Jesus, that you care for the vulnerable. You have a heart for those that are ill-treated. And while it seems at times that you don't step in as quickly as we would hope or in ways that we would anticipate, as we declared today, your timing is perfect. So from your vantage point, we trust you, that you see what we do not see and know that we do not know. But today we pray for freedom for those who are trapped and those who are stuck, that they might hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that spiritual freedom is also available to them. And so we thank you for these organizations on the front line, these people who are doing that, and even those in our own congregation who are making an impact to be a part of your cause for the vulnerable. We pray over Sherry today, just an anointing over her. May we be good listeners and courageous responders. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. It was 9 years ago that God broke in to my everyday life and grabbed my attention. Up till that point, I often think that perhaps I was living in a bubble. I remember being in a Sunday school class here, and this simple phrase, which seems kind of silly to me now, really changed my life. And it was just, your world is not the world. And God broke in and wanted to let me know that. I can remember the exact day that God broke in, June 1st, 2009. And that was my very first day of summer vacation as a school teacher. I was excited to have my summer ahead of me. And I went to the public library over here to get some nice light summer reading. That day I walked out of the library with a book in my hands called Not for Sale, The Return of the Global Slave Trade and How We Can Fight It. That wasn't the light reading that I had thought I was going to the library for. But I can still remember God guiding me through the aisles of the library to pick up that book. I began reading that book that week, and I knew right away that God was calling me to get involved in the issue of modern-day slavery. Leading up to that point, I had been praying that God would use me in a way that was new and significant. I had been feeling dry and without purpose. That also happened to be the summer that our youngest had graduated from college, and so our nest was empty. And I'd really been praying that God would fill that time with something purposeful. What I didn't know is that he would fill it with something I had absolutely no idea about. I knew nothing about modern-day slavery. But that was my summer of learning, and so after completing that book in a couple of days and reading several other books and going to a conference, I knew right away that God was calling me to be involved in this issue of modern-day slavery. And I really hoped that he would call me to go, because I was reading horrible stories and statistics about children being held in brothels around the world. Horrific stories of slavery, and I just wanted to go jump on an airplane and go into those brothels and grab those children, but he didn't call me to go. He called me to stay, and instead, he showed me that there are organizations all over the world, like IJM that Kurt referred to, and others that are rescuing people from modern-day slavery. And so what he did was call me to partner with those organizations. And so I partner with Destiny Rescue and about 20 organizations that are on the front lines. And I started an organization as I was going called Accessories for Hope. And I have two goals with Accessories for Hope. And the first goal is to raise awareness about slavery. And the second goal is to raise funds to stop it. And so what I want to do first, and I'll reveal more of my story as I go, but I want to meet that first goal, and I want to raise awareness about slavery. And the first word that I want to throw out to you is abolitionist. I have some titles behind my name. I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a grandmother now. I was a teacher, but I'm also an abolitionist. And sometimes people chuckle when they see that title. I think of Abraham Lincoln or Harriet Tubman. But an abolitionist, by definition, is someone who believes slavery is wrong and takes action against it. And I have, well, let's see by a show of hands, is there anyone in here who believes slavery is wrong? So I see lots of hands. The only thing now that we have to do is take action against it. And I believe that there is something that each of us can do to take action against it. So what is a slave? What does that look like today? We know about slaves in the 17th century or the 18th century. What does a modern day slave look like? First of all, a slave is someone who is forced to work under the threat of violence or coercion and is not paid. And we can say this is unjust. There are also more slaves in the world today than any other time in human history. I'll share some facts with you that I learned about modern-day slavery. Did you know that human trafficking, another word for modern-day slavery, is the fastest-growing crime on our planet? To me, that in itself is a reason why the church should be involved, the fastest-growing crime on our planet. Human trafficking is the second largest crime after arms trafficking. And 9 years ago, when I began to learn about this, human trafficking was actually the third largest crime, with drug trafficking being second. But over the last few years, both the UN and the State Department report that human trafficking has surpassed drug trafficking. There are an estimated 40 million people in slavery today. And as I said, more than any other time in human history. And I also learned that slavery is illegal in every country in the world. And yet it happens in every country in the world. So what does slavery look like in our world today? I just want to show you a few faces to break it down a little bit and make it a little more personal. One of the types of slavery is child soldiering. It happens in Africa, it happens in other places as well. But if you remember that definition where someone is forced by violence or coercion, that's what happens to child soldiers. Young boys who are taken from their villages or homes, those are walking to get water or walking to school, and they are abducted and indoctrinated in really horrible ways into rebel army groups. They are given drugs, they are addicted to drugs, they are really forced to kill or to be killed with really brutal and bizarre tactics, many times forced to kill members of their own family in indoctrinating them into a rebel army. This is a form of modern-day slavery. Another form of slavery takes place in the country of Ghana. It's on Lake Volta, which is the second largest man-made lake in the world, and on that lake there are thousands of children enslaved to fishermen. And these are children, mostly boys, between the ages of 8 and 18, who have been forced to work on the lake to catch fish. They spend long hours, 14, 16-hour days on these boats. They're fed very little. The waters that they dive into are often infested, and so the boys are often sick. And their job is to take the heavy nets and throw them over the sides of the boats, bring in the fish. The problem there lies in the fact that it's a man-made lake, and when that area was flooded, the trees were not removed. And so under the water are lots of trees and roots, and so the nets become tangled, and the boys have to dive over the sides of the boat, untangle the nets, often getting entangled themselves. One of the forms of slavery that you probably hear the most about are sex slaves. This happens in nearly every country in the world where children, girls, and even boys, women, and even men are sold for sex. It's an over a $32 billion a year industry. I don't even have to tell you the ramifications of that on the victims. Another form of slavery was a shock to me because I didn't realize when I began learning about slavery how I was going to be tied to it by things that I purchased, and nothing surprised me more than chocolate. I learned that there are thousands of boys enslaved on cocoa plantations in Ghana and in the Ivory Coast. And these boys are forced to harvest the cocoa beans that go into the chocolate that we consume. 70% of the cocoa that we consume in the United States comes from the Ivory Coast or from Ghana. And so these boys toil away with machetes to cut the cocoa pods down. They often, I watched a documentary and I could see that the boys often had deep wounds and scars on their bodies from those machetes. So they're forced to labor and toil and beaten if they don't work fast enough so that we can have chocolate in the United States that is cheap chocolate. I had no idea how I was going to be tied to slavery. So those are just a few pictures of slavery around the world. But as I hope you're aware, slavery is also happening right here in our own backyard. So just a few statistics about slavery in the United States. There are approximately 15 to 20,000 people trafficked into the United States from other countries every year. There are another 60,000 people trafficked within our own borders, Americans trafficked every year, with half of them being under the age of 18. There are extensive trafficking rings inside the United States. Just this week, I read about a trafficking ring that was busted in Texas. And they showed pictures of the perpetrators, the men who were arrested, men who were teachers and pastors and policemen, and everyday people who are involved in these extensive trafficking rings. There have been arrests in every state in the United States. And also, many of the goods that are imported from other countries into the United States are tainted with slavery. This includes shoes and clothes, technology devices, and food. We actually have laws in the United States that forbid anything from being imported into our country that is tied with slavery. And it happens every day in this country. So I began to teach myself with books like Not for Sale. I began to educate myself and to network with other people and learn from other people. And I read a lot of books, and I learned a lot of statistics, and I learned a lot of facts. But the truth of all of this really came to me in Scripture. As I began learning that summer, I feel like I went through some stages of grief. For a while, I was really sad. For a while, I was really angry. And then I settled on hope, and that's where I've been, thankfully, for the last 9 years. But the way that I got there was the question that I asked as I began learning about this: where are you in this, God? I was overwhelmed with what I was learning. And that summer, the summer of learning, I started this journal. And on the front of it, it says, "Seek justice." And I thought, every time I find a scripture about oppression, injustice, slavery, I'm going to write it in here so I can try to wrap my mind around what it is I'm learning and what God is saying about this. And so now I've shown this journal about 300 times, so the pages are falling out, so I hope I can keep it together. But the first page says, "What does God say about injustice?" And you can see that it wasn't long before I not only filled up the book, but I started writing on the backs of pages as well, because there's nothing new under the sun. And we read about slavery in the Bible, and God had a lot to say about it to me. And I just want to share a few of those scriptures that have become meaningful to me. And the first one is from Isaiah 1:17, and it says, "Learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the orphan, fight for the rights of widows." And when I was asking God, where are you in this, God? When I read scriptures like this, I could see that he had a role for me. He has a role for us. I look at the verbs in there, learn, seek, help, defend, fight. Those are not passive commands. Another scripture that I found was Psalm 81:3. You're here to defend the defenseless, to make sure the underdogs get a fair break. Your job is to stand up for the powerless and prosecute all who exploit them. And that was from The Message. Again, there's action. They're talking about defending, standing up, prosecuting. I could see right away that God was saying, this is going to be action-oriented. This is going to be something that you do. This is going to be something that takes your time, that takes your talent, that takes my spirit to get it done. The last one I want to share with you is from Isaiah. It's 59, 15, and 16. And I always say this is the one that really motivated me. Not that I've ever stopped learning, but to move from, okay, I've gathered information, now it's time to do something about it. And it says, the Lord looked and was displeased to find that there was no justice. He was amazed to see that no one intervened to help the oppressed. That one really motivated me. I didn't want the Lord to look and be displeased. And so I began to pray and ask him to guide me in this journey. And what he showed me was that these organizations on the front lines that were rescuing people were not just saying, you're out of slavery, go well and be on your way. But these people that were rescued because of the poverty in which they live needed some way to sustain themselves, some way to have a job that gave them hope and a future and a marketplace and sustainability. And so I began partnering with organizations that were rescuing people, and then their rescued women would make things like clothing or jewelry or bags. And by doing this, they were able to stay out of slavery, to not be forced to sell their children into slavery. And so the organization Accessories for Hope, as I said, the first goal was to raise awareness, and my second goal is to raise funds. And I do that by selling the things that the rescued women have made. I do that with a little shop that I have in my home. I do that mainly by going out into events around Indiana, going to Ohio and Michigan. In the last 9 years, I've been invited and spoken at about 300 events. And that's just because God has made a way for churches and women's groups and universities and individual people to invite me into their homes or their businesses and their churches, and to share this work of justice. And then, as Kurt said, we recently bought a bus. So you'll see a little blue bus parked in the parking lot. Her name is Birdie. She is the Bluebird Boutique. The brand of the bus is a Bluebird bus, which is where the name came from. But the idea for Birdie is to raise more awareness and to raise more funds to help women around the world. Sometimes people ask me, does it really make a difference if I buy a necklace or a bag? And over the last 9 years, we've been able to sell almost $500,000 worth of jewelry and necklaces and bags and clothing because of generous people who have said, I'll do this, I can do this, I can buy a bag, I can do my Christmas shopping here. I can buy fair trade coffee. I can buy fair trade chocolate. I want you to know that all the proceeds from anything that is purchased go directly back to the women and to the organizations that I partner with. I don't keep any of that money. So today, after we're finished, you'll be invited to come into the fellowship hall or out into the bus, where I have a couple of friends who will be there to help you make your purchases. And just in case you're wondering, I do take cash, check, and credit card. There is something really important that I want to put out here, though. Some may say that the church is not the place for issues of social justice. And I actually don't really engage in that debate because I don't consider this social justice. I consider it biblical justice. And there is a difference. And so I just briefly want to talk about that. Social justice is promoting a just society by challenging injustice and valuing diversity. And that in itself does not look like a wrong thing. It's a concept of fair and just relations between an individual and society. The problem is that society changes and they go through a variety of cultural norms, but biblical justice stands on the unchanging nature of God. And so biblical justice is the enactment of God's nature, confronting evil and making right that which is wrong. Social justice can be a cultural fad or a trendy issue. Biblical justice is a biblical mandate, some of which we have read this morning. Social justice can be dependent on our own knowledge or skill or will. But thankfully, biblical justice is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And if it wasn't for that Holy Spirit, I would not be standing in front of you today. Social justice can often be a feel-good cause, where biblical justice leads to lives transformed by Christ. The organizations that I partner with are Christian organizations. They are not only rescuing women from slavery and giving them work to do, but they are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And with the horrific lives that they've led and the trauma that they've been through, I can't imagine how they would be able to experience complete healing without the love of Christ. So what is God saying to you? What does he want you to do about it? The first picture that I want to show you is Caroline Calloway, although you can't see her face. Those are her puppies. As Kurt already explained to you, just one woman using the gifts and talents she already has, breeding puppies, to make a difference around the globe. Caroline had the opportunity to travel to Cambodia and Thailand and to see the work of Destiny Rescue and to meet the girls living in their safe homes. And so she and her husband now support one of those homes, and they do that through the sale of their puppies. The other picture is a picture of some faces you may recognize. This is the team that went from our church and some other places to Destiny Rescue, and you see Kat there in the front. And as you know, as our worship team leader, she has a talent for writing music and singing, and she has written a beautiful song about slavery that is very meaningful and touching. And I know she's not sharing it with us this morning. I hope that she'll do that again soon, and she has shared it a few times. But God called her to use her gifts and talents to sing and to write about this injustice. And Destiny Rescue have used her song in a video that they made to promote justice. So we can ask the question, what is mine to do? We can pray. There are some bullet points in your bulletin today, some ways that you can pray about modern-day slavery. You can educate yourself by reading, by going, by learning. You can be aware, and if you see something, say something, because it's happening in our own backyard, and more people are being educated. They're educating firefighters and policemen. Truck drivers in many states can now not get a truck driving license until they've been educated about modern day slavery, so they, on the highways and byways of our country, know what to look for and are aware. And so just to be aware and to say something if you see something. You can give, you can go, you can shop differently. You can think about where the things that we purchase come from, where they're made, and who made them. And so we're going to end on hope, because that's where I landed, and that's where I'm staying. Because there may be 40 million people on earth in slavery today, but the good news is that there are 6 billion people on earth who can save them. And the even better news is that our God is a God of justice, and he wants to use us to break the chains of injustice and to set them free. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for being a God of justice who wants to make right that which is wrong. It is your very nature to rescue. You rescued us. You can rescue us from chains of apathy, from lukewarm living, from complacency, and fill us with your Spirit so that we too can live justly and love mercy and walk humbly with you. Amen.
God is using people from our congregation to make a difference. I hope that it's inspiring to you that you are a part of a global difference as we befriend and we come alongside what God is doing. As Sherry indicated, she's been in over 300 places sharing this message. It was earlier this summer, I go, it's time that we hear it again. It's been a long time. And in those 9 years, slavery hasn't been eradicated. And so it's important that we take to heart to not only applaud one of our own, but to perhaps partner alongside them. And if you want to be a part of the justice team or ways in which our congregation can continue to be on the front lines, I invite you to speak with Sherry or Caroline or myself related to that. I do encourage you to check out the Bluebird Boutique and the downstairs in the gathering area. There's also some places that you can make a difference through your shopping. We do want to have hope. And I'm just going to read this passage of scripture in closing. It's from Isaiah 41, and then I'll have you stand and we'll sing a song. Actually, why don't you stand with me right now? Why do you say and complain, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.